The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. You are on with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The Boston Red Sox dropped the third game of the Red Sox Giants first series without Rafi Devers away, losing this series a little bit of a heartbreaker after winning game 1-7-5, dropping game 2-3-2, albeit some questionable calls by the umpires, and then just an absolute blowout and mistakes and mayhem in game 3. Red Sox dropped this 9-5 against the Giants. So Mark Chikaris with me. First time we've had a chance to work together. I'm very excited. I think before we get into it, why don't you, introduce yourself for a quick second and then give us your initial reaction.
Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, Mark Chikaris, from Fall River, Massachusetts. And I love Portuguese food. initial reactions to the game. It was super disappointing. I thought they played sloppy again today. It was a sloppy defensive game. There were base running issues. I felt they had this game. I thought Giolito pitched well. I thought he was hitting his spots. He made a couple of bad pitches, which went out of the ballpark, but ultimately kept them in the game. It's just, those two big errors, the one out in left field, and of course the Romy Gonzalez at second base error, that's essentially what pretty much did them in. And the style of base play today was so different, right? With the Giants manufacturing runs and playing small ball, that was actually kind of cool to watch, to be honest with you. But you just wish it was your guys and not the other guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really quickly, the takeaways: you're able to get a run, only one, but still you're able to get on the board quickly. San Francisco comes roaring back. They get two. Then we drop a three spot. We're up by two. They tie it back up. We go back up again in the sixth inning. Then the seventh inning, the doors get blown off. I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, those errors are going to hurt this team. And that's part of the game. Errors are going to happen. There is a human element to the sport. But the miscommunication between Eaton and Duran, that can't happen. And first game for Eaton over at third. I think it was his first one there that at least I saw. And, just a mistake. It wasn't just this game. I was actually watching the Dodgers and Nationals game along with this one. And this sun is beaming in California today. So Mookie Betts dropped a ball. There was another misplay by Michael Conforto in left field in that Dodgers game. So I want to give them a little bit of a break. Now, second base has been a little bit of a bugaboo for the Red Sox in this series. First with David Hamilton in the first game, kind of for some odd reason, just didn't have the speed to get to the ball or just misplayed it, thought he had it, and he just didn't. And then the same thing. Ball gets hit right to Romy Gonzalez, goes right off the tip of the glove, and then the doors just get blown off. It's another run. And Helyet Ramos just absolutely beasted this team. Multiple extra base hits, or multiple hits with extra RBIs and ducks on the pond. A very unique one with Giolito. The pitch clock violation ended up walking Devers, and you're up 0-2 on this guy. You've got to find a way to punch him out and get out of it. And so there were, you know, multiple mistakes that led to the Red Sox ultimately not getting the job done. The bullpen, I think, very taxed, just couldn't get it done. And, you know, it would have been nice to see the Sox split the second and third games. When I was talking with Nick a couple days ago, we'd shared, you know, what do we think is going to happen? We both thought game two, the Red Sox have it in game three. It's just not going to happen. Robbie Ray is too strong, but Robbie Ray is human. And Robbie Ray has not been a full-time pitcher the last three seasons after missing a lot of time for injuries and whatnot. It just didn't go the Red Sox way. And so game one, you're sitting there thinking, okay, you lose Rafi Devers and the team you're facing just got that piece you lost and you won. You won without Devers and the team you beat had Rafi Devers. So you think, okay, we're good, right? Wrong. Game two and three goes to show you what happens when you have somebody like Rafi Devers on your team. Now, questionable solo home run against Bayo originally. A couple cutters were deemed to be balls when they were in, you know, they were right on the corner. And then the third cutter was about middle outside and he just beamed it over the wall. So you're down with that one. And then Devers does what Devers does. Two-run home run and puts them up 3-0. And we were able to get two runs in the ninth inning, but the damage was way too late. This game, I like the fight. I'm still buying into the Red Sox. I don't hate the fact that we lost this. I'm okay with it. There are some people who we've worked with in the past that are just negative all the time if they don't win by 10 runs, and I have no time for them, and I don't think anybody else here does either. But the truth of the matter is, this is now a really young team and or very inexperienced team. You've got three guys now on your team that have days of experience, weeks of experience. And you've got a starting pitcher who's coming back after not pitching all of last season. And he's done pretty darn well each of those last two games. So it sucks to see it. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, oh, okay, it's okay to lose. But against one of the best teams in baseball, I understand why it happened. They had a lot of their offense come from two guys. Ramos, who absolutely went off, and then their third baseman, Schmidt, who just did miss, was 4-for-4 today. So give credit to where credit's due. We have some work to do. I have one other thing I want to say, but are there any other points that kind of you wanted to talk about? Because I was getting pretty fired up in the later innings of this game. Is there anything in particular that came up for you?
Well, to your point, I mean, the play with Eaton and Duran, if you go back and look at that play, I mean, first and foremost, that's Duran's ball. Because he's obviously coming in and Eaton's going back, and maybe, you know, to your point, he's young and he's trying to do too much perhaps, but, and then they switched the era actually, cause they originally, gave it to Eaton and they switched it to Duran, and they should have, because if you go back and look at the play, Duran does not, he's not talking it, like, you know, you don't see him say, Mine, I got it. But, you know, on camera, I don't know if he yelled it before the camera, but panned on him. But I mean, the Giants had, I think, two plays that were extremely similar, where their outfielders basically came in and the infielders backed off and they made the play. And that was a routine play. It led to runs. The Romy Gonzalez era was not hit hard. you got to have that play because that led to runs too. And George White says on the feed, five unearned runs and there's your ball game.
Right. So a couple other things. And to your point, as the left fielder, as the veteran in that outfield, you've got Roman Anthony, days old. You got Seydon Rafaela, only a year old. And then you've got Duran in there. So Duran by default is your vet in the outfield. You have got to tell Nate Eaton that I'm coming your way. You've been here for a couple days. Literally, you've got to be vocal. That's tough. Now, again, I do want to say that was like just a California Sun thing. I know it sounds like excuses. We've got one commenter, Steven, in there who says excuses. And I'm not sure if you're alluding to that by my saying that, but it was all the left side of the field. We're playing in San Francisco. We're playing Los Angeles. You can look at a map. The sun is affecting both of those places in the same place, both of those stadiums in the same place in the same way. And the errors were made almost in the same spot. So there's that. Then you got Fitzgerald on the other team. Tyler Fitzgerald has been really struggling this year. Their second baseman actually did make one of those plays. And the right fielder who I think it was Yastrzemski, just kind of backed off and he made the play. What I absolutely love about Fitzgerald's game, not once, twice he was bunting runners over. And one of those bunts to sacrifice himself actually led to a run to come across. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the fifth run that they scored. And then the play right after that was the one where Romy Gonzalez makes that catch. We end the inning. It's still 5-5 and we're all good. And then we try again next inning and see what happens. I think that might've changed the game up a little bit. I think maybe you would have seen Chapman perhaps come in a non-save situation. Who knows? I don't know what would have been going on in his head for that mindset, that moment. The other issue that really, really fired me up was the Jarren Duran trying to extend that single into a double. Now, we all know that Jarren Duran has the wheels. There's no question. He's been stealing at will. Whenever he's thinking about second base says, here you go. It's yours. Now, this play was a little bit unique because instead of doing that little swim move or just kind of going outside of second base, Jarren Duran is actually on the inside of second base, goes past the bag, his fingers come up, come back down, and the glove comes on top of the hand. It looks like his fingers are touching second base. It really, really does upon further review. And so I thought, all right, cool. There's a chance they might keep this. And then from one angle, I was like, oh no, we got this. That's it, done. But the fact of the matter is, you're down by a couple of runs. You have to be smart about the plays that you make. Every run counts. Every base runner counts. You don't have to try to take second base on that play. You can, steal second, like what you've been doing. And I don't fault you. I don't think anybody would have faulted him if he just said, you know what? I'm just going to take a cool single. Maybe I could have stretched it to two, but it didn't work out. Now, upon further review, that really did look like he was safe. So that is frustrating. And then Duran said the la-di-da magic words and got himself tossed. And then our manager said, no, I don't want to be here either anymore. And then he said the magic words and he got tossed and then started pointing at all the other umpires probably who missed the call. But my mindset thinking, okay, Jarren, are you doing that because you're trying to make up for the play in left field? Or are you doing that because you genuinely thought, oh no, I got this? Because in the heat of the moment, there's that play. And then not long after that, you've got Trevor Story, who also, I believe it was Trevor Story who was running to first, and then it looked like he was safe, but now the Red Sox lost their challenge. Now we have what could have been first and second with no outs, and instead we now have first and second, or, we've got outs. We've got ducks who have been knocked out. So it's just not smart baseball in a moment where you need to be extra savvy and just read the room. You guys are down. You guys have to be so smart about this. This is not the Chicago White Sox or the Colorado Rockies where you can reap the benefits of maybe taking chances. You were tied and or losing the game. You can't afford to make those mistakes. It doesn't work. So Duran has got to just read the room, be smart, and just recognize, okay, I've got the wheels. I can take second base. on another play or a different situation. It doesn't need to be now. He's not going to steal third. So to me, it was just another missed opportunity. The Sox are trying to do too much too soon and trying to play catch up fast. I appreciate the tenacity. I appreciate the you know, the nature of just going full bore, but you got to do it at the right time. You can't be doing it 24/7 at will. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And as that vet, you're now out at second base. We need you in the game. We're down. You can't afford to chirp. You have words, say it when the game is over and they throw you out when the game is done. You want to do it, say it then. At that point, people could say whatever, but the game is over. You haven't now caused an unnecessary situation from taking place. So yeah, as you mentioned, one of our commenters said, George White had mentioned, 8 unearned runs in this game. That is the number of runs you scored in this game. You can't live on that. You just can't do it. You got to be better. You got to be smarter. Yeah, Mark.
The other thing too, is you got to remember that play at the plate where, was it Nevarez who was out of the base?
No, that was Toro at first. Who was coming around. Okay. It actually looked like he tore something. He was like chugging. And yeah, I want to hear your take first before I dive in on that one.
Well, excuse me. I don't think he should have been sent at that. I mean, I know that Middlebrooks had mentioned on the broadcast, he said that, you know, with that caliber of a pitcher on the mound, you know, you want to try to score as much as you can, but the Red Sox seemed to be handling him fine. Honestly, they had their best innings against him. I wouldn't have sent him. And then he was out by a mile. So it's another sort of kind of like read the room thing. You know, it's like, to me, Toro doesn't seem like he's like the fastest guy on the planet. So that was kind of questionable to me. Back to the Duran thing. Like, look, he's got the speed and he was definitely safe in the, you know, when he first touched the bag, but you also can't overslide on that. Yeah, you gotta hang on to that bag, and it's just these little mistakes. By the way, I do think he was looked like he got his glove in there. But to your point,
yeah,
like one angle I was like ooh, and then one of the other angles I was like nah. I mean, it was like it was tie goes to the runner as far as I'm concerned. But again, it was sloppy base running, sloppy defense. We lost.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too. So there was that one. Like it's, you know, tie goes to the runner. We get it. A call's been made. It's got to be irrefutable for them. They have to really see that and be like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter what angle you look at it. He's got to be safe. There's no other way they're going to overturn that. And I know that. Now, the play at home, which is another one, you're being sent around. Abraham Toro is not fast. He does not have wheels. That is square pegs on, you know, a rod, and you're expecting to like be a Ferrari. That's not happening. So here's the thing. You send him. They made that comment about he didn't change the, you know, he didn't run out of his lane, the base path and whatnot. He did jump over him. He looked injured when he did it. He wasn't injured. But let's just play it out, right? Let's say, for example, you don't run home and you've got runners at second and third. Now Eaton comes up, he singles. That would have driven in one, maybe two. Ref Snyder then hits a home run on the very next at bat. So now it's curious because it's okay, cool. What would the Giants have done differently if they were now down two more runs and instead of it being, you know, 2-1, it's now 3-1. Ref Snyder hits the home run. It's 5-2. Or excuse me, 3-2, and now it's 5-2, right? So there's a lot of questionable things. And who knows? You know, it's a different at-bat, it's a different inning. Who knows? Maybe they pitch to him differently. Eaton sits a little bit more patiently waiting for a different one. Who knows? The fact of the matter is, we did a decent job of getting ourselves out. We did them favors. You know, we didn't just have them win the game. We also lost the game. Sometimes it's just, you know, we lost and they won and they played a really good game. Sometimes it's we really botched opportunities, which you could say was is a fair shake, fair here bet. You know, we had the play in left field, second baseman mishap, trying to take two, taking home with Abraham Toro. Like, be smart. Like you said, Mark, we were doing fine with Robbie Ray. We were doing fine. We were able to get singles, able to get doubles, doing fine, being diplomatic, seeing pitches well. They're not doing great. We got a quick run early on. Stop trying to overdo it. You are the Boston Red Sox. You are not fooling anybody. You do not have nine Jaron Durans running around the field. That is not the case here. So I think the Red Sox need to dial it back, look at the game tape and say, okay, cool, let's be smart. If the runners are left at second and third and the next batter pops out and grounds out, I'm not going to be upset. Abraham Toro is not fast. The odds of him getting thrown out were pretty high at home. They were pretty high. So
he wasn't even close. Just, he was out by a mile.
He had to just, yeah. And because of the Buster Posey rule, you can't, you know, mow the catcher over, you know, albeit, you know, you almost think, well, he's kind of blocking the lane. He already had the ball. So at that point, when you have the ball, you can block the lane, and he did the right thing. So I believe it's Patrick Bailey is their catcher. So he did the right thing. We just got unlucky, and it was a bad decision.
I just wanted to address someone in the comments, Jules, who says too many minors on the MLB roster. So I'm going to keep it positive here, Jules, and I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Number one, Christian Campbell, first at bat, Woo Sox hit a triple. So that's a good sign. Like, maybe we should bring him up again. No, I'm just joking. But here's the other thing. Roman Anthony. He is laying off good pitches that aren't in the strike zone. And that's a real positive that I took away from today. I really noticed that he was, you know, certain fastballs, breaking balls, they were close pitches. And you know, and he was taking them. He wasn't, I think he's got, what does he have? Like 4 or 5 walks in the last 2 games or something. And that's a good step. I know, like, you know, he's not, you know, hitting the crap out of the ball right now. But if he has a command of the strike zone like that, all that stuff will fall into place. So I felt pretty positive about that today with Roman Anthony.
You know, and to your point, you know, Anthony at one point was hitting under a buck, wasn't really seeming like it's working out. You've got Meyer, who didn't really play in this game, came in, I believe, as just a replacement, unless I'm completely missing it. I'm pretty sure he came in to play third. And you got Seydon Rafaela, who's still relatively new. Seydon Rafaela is technically in his second full season with the Boston Red Sox. He did make have a small cup of coffee, 2 years ago. But you know, it was what it was. What a series from the kid! A couple home runs today alone, home run, double. I'm not yet gonna say, oh, Rafi, who? I'm not gonna be disrespectful. I'm definitely not gonna be making inappropriate comments like that. That's a lot of pressure to put on a young man, but. I mean, I'm actually really content with the fact that this guy had 2 home runs in a not hitter friendly ballpark. And if you look at the home runs that are getting hit to left field, balls that would sail over the monster for, you know, players like Rafi Devers or Seydon Rafaela or Rob Refsnyder are just dying. And they're going into like the first or second row. It's just, you see the ball, it's like sailing. Gone. It just falls. It's really bizarre because Devers is some pretty incredible pop. Now, the home run that Yastrzemski hit was out of the zone. It was like letter high and he just mashed it. It was like a Barry Bonds beauty. And as soon as he hit it, that was gone. I don't think anybody thought for 1 second that that was going to be a long double. I mean, it was just perfect. Absolute moonshot. And I wish he was doing that for the Red Sox. You know, I would have loved for Yastrzemski to be one of the names that got sent here when Devers got sent there. All right, for a couple of reasons.
Yeah. That's interesting because I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. All right, while we wait to get Mark back in there, the pitch that Yastrzemski hit, I mean, he's also been having a couple of struggle at-bats. Yeah, now you're back in. You're back in. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, so with Yastrzemski, it'd be interesting to see if Red Nation would have been excited about that. I mean, I know if you know, how old all the fans are, right? But like, you know, I was 8 years old when Yaz retired, so I remember watching him playing. I think it would have been exciting. I don't know if we, you know, necessarily that's another logjam in the outfield, but you know, I it's all about pitching. We should have gotten a little bit more in the pitching package for Devers, as far as I'm concerned. But it'd be interesting to see. I bet you the fan base would have been psyched.
Oh, we would have been psyched, but for all the wrong reasons. It would have been emotions over, you know, necessity. And you're absolutely right. Like for me, it just would have been an emotional win there. You already have your outfield. We don't need any other bats in the outfield. We're fine. And when Yoshida comes back, he's not playing the outfield. More than likely, he's going to be your DH, unless Bregman needs to spend some time there for a little bit. And if you have the option of one or the other, you're going Bregman. There's no question there. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, it would have been nice, but I mean, it did make sense. Like to your point, you need pitching. You absolutely need pitching. And, you know, maybe Hicks comes back and they're able to, you know, dial that back. And now you have a 100 plus mile an hour flamethrower from the right side. And then 100 plus mile an hour flamethrower from the left side, a la Aroldis Chapman. Now, the starting pitcher who got sent to Worcester, I don't hate it, but you know, I'm hoping that that addition is going to be something that works for the future. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's going to take some time. He's going to have to work through his things, but there is the potential for upside. And then the other two youngsters, we got another, I believe his last name is also Bayo, and then Tibbs the third. So we'll see what happens with both of them as well, but it's going to be a couple of years, 3 to 4 years minimum, before we're able to actually comment and say whether or not this trade was garbage or if this trade was even somewhat decent. Because right now, obviously, everybody and their mother is going to say, oh, well, the Giants just absolutely fleeced the Red Sox. The Red Sox are not paying the Giants anything. We got zero. We're paying $0 of that contract. We're getting a possible flamethrowing reliever because the starting pitching thing is not working for Jordan Hicks. You got a lefty starter who is going to work through his kinks and hopefully come back and help this team, because at one point we had four lefty starters and that just doesn't work. But, you know, hopefully is it Kyle Montgomery? I might be wrong on his name. I apologize. The starting pitcher that we got from the Giants.
I believe so. Yes.
So it was Kyle Harrison, excuse me, Kyle Harrison, not Kyle Montgomery. Kyle Harrison came over. So the other two players, it's going to be a while before we see anything from those two. So, I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment on both of those. And as Jeremy, one of our other, podcasting gurus would say, I reserve the right to change my opinion. I reserve the right to change my opinion on this one too, because very well right now you could say, oh, the Sox got fleeced. But hopefully that's not the case in 3 years. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is the only thing I don't want to hear. Since you've freed up all this Devers money, the one thing I don't want to hear is that these are the guys that you're being patient with before the trade deadline. And then, you know, you're going to give them some time in Worcester. And then you're going to, you know, these are the guys that you're going to bring up. No. You know, they have to address real areas of concern, and they have to acquire major league talent to put into those positions. And I think that's what's sort of frustrating for a lot of fans, because, okay, you know, you had to trade Kyle Teal to get Crochet, awesome deal. And you extended Crochet. I mean, he's pitching fantastic right now, right? One of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the major leagues at this particular point. Meyer's up. Roman Anthony's up. We've been waiting. You've been telling us this for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it's been. They're up. Now, you know, you took a step. You got a Bregman who's a leader and a veteran, right? You need to get a couple more guys like that. And unfortunately, it's going to be, you know, maybe some of your young guys go. I personally think list of the outfield crew. I think, you know, he's not having the type of impactful year that he had last year. And I think he's a guy that if you can get some frontline pitching and maybe match him up with another, you know, high prospect, maybe the password, right? Down in Worcester. If you gotta start pulling the trigger on major league ready, proven, you know, 285, 25 home run guy talent, or, you know, front, you know, top of the rotation pitching. You got to start to do that. You can't just sit and wait on these prospects, because then it's going to be, okay, well, you know, and I think Sam Kennedy said this in his stupid Zoom interview, you know, he's like, well, we want to be competitive in 2025, 2026, 2027 and beyond. I heard that in 2023, bro. I heard that in 2021, whatever. Like, stop chasing the carrot. Make it happen so that you can develop these young guys and you're not counting on them and they're not hitting third, fourth, and fifth in your lineup. Some of them are playing out of position. Nobody loves playing guys out of position more than the Red Sox. It drives me bananas.
Yeah, I think we can credit Joe Maddon of the Chicago Cubs for doing that. I think he started tinkering with that when he was with the Rays, and then when he became a member of the Chicago Cubs, then you start to see, you know, Kyle Schwarber's playing, he's catching, he's playing first, he's playing left field, Chris Bryant's playing third, he's playing second, playing right field. It's just like all this tinkering, so you get this multi-versatility. I think it's cute and whatnot, but it doesn't always work. As for the password, he had another big game today. Two home runs in Worcester. I do not want to see him wearing another uniform other than the Boston Red Sox uniform, hopefully in 2025, 2026, because I don't know, you know, maybe he gets a chance to get called up right now. I mean, right now his line is, he's hitting 11 home runs, 36 RBIs, and he's hitting 283. Like, he's absolutely torching it. And that was, I think, after today's game, he had another two hits, and now his batting average is up to 311, and he's up to, let's see, is that eight home runs now on the year? So, yeah, I don't want to see him wearing another uniform other than some that says Worcester or Boston. Now, you're absolutely right. There are going to be players that get moved, and I sadly do think, and Terry had kind of hinted this, you know, we talked about which player could potentially get moved. Who has more value? Is it Jaron Duran, who is, you know, a possible MVP candidate, you know, after last year finishing in, you know, not winning it, but top three, top four, at least on paper. His numbers are through the roof. I mean, even during the All-Star game, won the All-Star game, player of the game. He just did it. But which one of those two guys do you think goes? Do you think it's Jaron Duran, or do you think it's Willier Abreu? Because I still think it's going to be one of those two guys. And then also on top of that, we no longer have Teal. Teal's doing, he's not doing great in Chicago. So it looks like the Red Sox absolutely fleece Chicago on that move. But Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, one of those two, do you think anything's going to happen with either one of those two? Obviously Campbell went down. He's got to fix his struggles. But yeah, I'm curious to know what your take is and what you think between Jaron Duran and Willier. Do you think one of those might get moved?
I think you would get more for Duran just because of just the speed. He's got a better track record. I mean, all-star, he's an all-star, he's all-star game MVP. You know, Willier of course has a cannon, for an arm. And I mean, that's like, Willier is like Dwight Evans territory, man. I mean, he can, you know, torch that ball. And that's a great asset. But I think Duran is the more complete player. And I think he gives you more. It's close. I mean, I think as Willier's younger, so maybe that's a factor that teams look at. I am convinced. I really do think that Duran's going to be gone at the All-Star break if they can get starting pitching back, right? Because if you look at the infield, there's kind of a log jam with Bregman coming back. You know, I know there's a black hole at first base. The outfield is log jammed, and to your point, I know that Yoshida's not going to be playing the outfield. But then if Yoshida is your full-time DH, that flexibility right? To not utilize that position, not give it to say a Roman Anthony, get him out of the outfield for a day or
right.
whoever. I still think Duran's the one. I don't love it, but again, we're talking hypotheticals here. So
sure.
You know, if you're telling me that, you know, the Red Sox are going to trade the password, Jaron Duran and, you know, Harrison to the Pirates for Skeens and extend him. All right. That's a whole nother story.
Right.
That's a pipe dream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So enough of this series. I'm going to have to get over this one. And you know, Nick the Voice and I are going to eat a lot of crow. I said I was wishing sweep and Nick said split. And sadly, we were both wrong. But you know what? I still have faith. I think if we can work and tweak those little things, I think this team will be headed in the right direction. You don't win six games. You don't sweep the Yankees by accident. I don't care about the fact that Stanton wasn't in the lineup. So tomorrow, the journey continues. In California, except in Anaheim, the Boston Red Sox will face Los Angeles. You got Walker Buehler toeing the mound against Jack Kochanowicz, who has been anything but sexy as a starter. If you look at his last couple of games, he's done a little bit better, but I mean, this is someone who allowed four runs in four straight starts and was only able to get past the fourth inning once. So he allows a lot of runs, but in his last game against the Yankees, struck out 8 guys in 5 1/3, only allowed 2 runs on 2 hits. Both were solo home runs. So is this the turning of the tide? Is he figuring it out against Walker Buehler, who has struggled in 3 of his last 4 starts, allowing 5 runs or more in said start? So I'm a little bit nervous. I think the Angels could be potentially catching Walker Buehler at the wrong time. But I'm curious to know, do you think that Walker Buehler can right the ship and get back on the right page against the boys in Anaheim?
If there's any team that anybody can right the ship against, it's the Angels. I know they took the series from us earlier in the year, which drove me nuts. One of my best friends is an Angels fan. Because he used to love that outfield back in the day, Reggie Jackson, Fred Lynn, right? But they are such a dumpster fire of an organization. And, you know, I just think anything can happen with the Angels. So really hope Walker turns it around, because Giolito has. I mean, he pitched pretty well today. I mean, he gave, like we talked about, he gave up a couple of homers. But overall, I think he kept him in the game. And you got to have – Walker Buehler has to be better in order for, you know, the Red Sox to compete. He's got to keep them in games, which James, he hasn't been doing. Giving up a lot of runs early. You know, I will say this about the Red Sox, though. They, you know – even yesterday, like they're fighting back. They're not laying down for the most part. Today was super frustrating, right, and they gave up a lot of runs late, but credit where credit's due. I think, you know, I don't know what Cora has said to them, but you know, I think they're taking every pitch seriously. I think they're taking every at bat seriously. And they've had successes. What is this? This is the first series they've lost in like five series, I think, or 5 or 6 series. So,
you ready for this? This is the first series that the Red Sox have lost since the Angels. So here's the fun facts here. You know, you took 2 out of 3 against New York. You know, this is after that series against the Angels. You took 2 out of 3 against Tampa Bay. You lost the first and then won the second and third for both of those series. Then you face the Yankees. You sweep them. You face the Mariners. You bookend wins. You lost the middle game. And then obviously San Francisco here, you won the first one and then lost the second and third. I understand why anybody would pick the Angels. The Angels swept the Dodgers and then swept the Athletics in a 4-game set. The Athletics aren't the craziest team. But then they lose 2 out of 3 to Miami. They get swept by the Yankees. They lose 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. They take 2 out of 3 against us. They sweep Oakland again, get swept by Baltimore, almost swept the Yankees, taking 3 out of 4. So it's very like hot and cold with this team. I can see it going one way or the other. I just really want to believe that Walker Buehler is just going to be able to lock in against a team that he's somewhat familiar with being a Dodger. They face the Angels quite regularly. I think he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a little bit more to prove. I think there's going to be a little bit of extra fire because the Red Sox just lost Duran and Cora. They're a little upset, obviously, for the, you know, ejections and whatnot. I'm going to lean Red Sox win game one. What's your take? Do you think the Sox end up winning the first one?
I do. I think that the Red Sox could potentially, sweep the series. To your point, the Angels are unpredictable. I don't know, but I think the young guys are going to have some breakout games in this Angel series. And the reason why I say that is because, and you had kind of mentioned this before, they haven't been up too long, but it feels like they're having very professional at bats.
It helps.
And I think that's going to translate in Anaheim. The young guys is that if you look at Anthony today, this the only negative thing I want to say about this. His awareness of the strike zone was fantastic, but he wasn't catching up to high fastballs. And when I do the air quotes, it's like some of these were like low 90s, and right. That kind of that kind of scared me a little bit. But I think that eventually that's going to come, and hopefully it's going to come in Anaheim, because they weren't blowing it by him with like 98, 99, 100. Right. Some of the pitches he struck out on, or he missed, I should say, were in the low 90s. And I think eventually he's going to figure that out. I think he's too good of a hitter to, keep letting that happen. So
we're going to see, man. Naturally, I wish we could sweep every series, but if you can win the series, I'm going to be content. It's the first lost series since the 2nd, 3rd of June. That was the last time we lost. So it's been 3 weeks. But that is going to do it from the Bastards of Boston Baseball. With me, Mark Chakaris. I'm Charlie Smith. Have a great one.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.